The ride home is surreal, to say the least. Chris tends to avoid cabs because he hates how cab drivers always insist on talking to him. But it's almost worse sitting alone in the back seat. He's dripping wet and hiding his blood-stained shirt cuffs beneath his blood-stained jacket, a silent accessory. The driver barely looks at him because Ivan is the obvious benefactor here. A well-dressed older man and his disheveled young companion. Chris can only imagine what he thinks. After an excruciating 40 minutes of small talk, to which Chris only listens, Ivan leaves an outrageously generous tip and holds the door for him. Ever the gentleman. Even though the cab was warm, his socks are soaked, and he's shivering, mostly from shock. 40 minutes, and it's still sinking in. The magnitude of what he's done, of what was done to him, of who did it. He can't believe he thought he'd escaped when Ivan has been holding him hostage this entire time. He knows it should make him sick, but he's far past caring about how he ought to feel. He feels weightless and giddy, tired and bewildered and more himself than he has in ages. Ivan hangs his jacket on the coat rack and then places Chris's, still wadded up, on the kitchen counter. Chris smiles to himself as he kicks off his shoes and strips off his socks. With deliberate hands and a sidelong glance at Ivan, he unbuttons his shirt and drapes it over a coat hook, followed by his belt, his pants. He wants so badly to turn and see if Ivan is watching. Sure enough, Ivan is riveted. They lock eyes. It's the first time they've done so without pretense, without the mind games or metaphor or edifice. And in his shirt and tie, Ivan is just as naked as him. "What did you take?" he asks. Chris strides to the kitchen island. "See for yourself."